The Hill Annex Mine State Park, in partnership with the Calumet Public Library, will host a special paleontology day this Saturday, September 23rd. It's a day of fossil hunting tours. Staff from the Science Museum of Minnesota will help lead the fossil hunting tour and assist visitors with identification. Historical archivist Ian Dunshee will be on site throughout the day, presenting his work on cataloging the oral histories of former mine workers and artifacts from the mine. Ian joins us this morning. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us about these stories and where you found them and what they are.
Yeah, so this all started. I'm a Conservation Corps of Minnesota in Iowa. Individual placement, doing some conservation work at the mine, as well as the Croft Mine down in Cuyuna Range. And we were just looking for anything that would be sensitive, top priority for preservation, digitization, anything like that. And we came upon several drawers of these cassette tapes, some of which are reel-to-reel tapes, that people knew about, but kind of had just gone to the back of their mind. And they were recorded, they were oral history tapes recorded from miners telling stories about their lives, their childhood, in the early range from late 1800s, early 1900s. And it's just hundreds of hours of recorded material talking about their lives.
What a thing to be able to eavesdrop on that, huh?
Well, you know, they didn't really, they weren't shy about being themselves. They really told you the truth. So it really is like you're seeing things from their perspective. And I think that's what makes these tapes so special.
Well, you've been kind enough to send us a few of the clips that we're going to listen to now. This first one has to do with something, if you live in northern Minnesota, you kind of get. And if your family came from here, you get sauna. Mm-hmm. But it really shows a lot about what it meant to people. Anything we should know before we listen to it?
No, I think it speaks for itself.
All right.
What was the charge at that time to take a sauna?
15 cents.
Did that include the towels, mm-hmm. everything?
Yeah. Well, except they had pop there that they sold, you know.
Okay, and how did they sell? They didn't have pop machines in those days.
No, you used to buy the pop from the, there was a pop factory just right behind our place.
Okay. And, you know, when I look back in those sauna days, I talked to Finnish people. In Finland, they used to, the wives used to have their babies in sauna.
Right, yeah.
Did that ever take place here, you know?
Yeah, my mother was a midwife.
She was, huh?
Yeah.
And the baby was
born at home.
Not in a sauna, though.
Some of them were born in the sauna, you know.
Because it was warm and clean?
Yeah,
and
they clean and wash them, yeah.
And I imagine it relaxed the woman, the pregnant woman, so yeah. It was easier to have that to have that baby.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Wow. Nothing.
Okay. Wow, we're listening to some recordings that Ian Dunshee is going to be presenting this Saturday at the Hill Annex Mine State Park.
Do you know dates of these? Like, is anything written on the cassettes, like the time frame of each?
Yeah, so the last one that we listened to was from Eino Kinnunen, and that particular one was recorded in 1988.
Okay.
But not all of the tapes have a date on them, but usually they have a time stamp at the beginning saying when they were recorded. So most of them are from 77 to 84. So that was sort of one of the later ones in the collection there.
Was there an overall feel on them? Were people happy? Were they cranky?
They were all pretty, well, most of them were retired at the time,
yeah,
so
but,
they were,
you know,
pretty relaxed.
Pretty relaxed, yeah.
But they certainly didn't shy away from talking about pretty much anything and everything.
So why do you think we should pay attention to this? Why should you be
doing this?
Why
should we care?
Yeah.
Well, oral histories are a very special kind of format to preserve history in, because it's not like a book where, you know, you're putting together a narrative from secondhand documents, secondhand accounts, and people are sort of making the interpretation on their own. With an oral history, it's a primary source. You're hearing the story directly from the person that it happened to. And in addition to that, you get all this paralanguage, all this emotion. You know, you can, when somebody talks about something tragic that happened, you can hear the tremble in their voice and you can hear them choke up. And it makes you feel a lot more connected to the story that they're telling. Not that it was something that happened, you know, 80 years ago, but you really still feel that raw emotion, and you can hear it in their own words. I mean, imagine if you could do that with, you know, some other character or person from a history book, right? If you're not just reading about the event, but you can actually hear that experience from their own words, it takes you to another place.
So, Ian, tell us again. I don't think it's clear. These were commissioned by somebody else. I mean, these interviews were done a long time ago from IRRB. Who was it?
It was IRRB.
Okay.
Yeah, they had a couple of different people that did these interviews over the years, and they just tracked down old miners, their families, retired engineers from the mines, anybody that would have, any kind of relationship to the mine, specifically at Hill Annex. And so they tracked them down and sat them down and did an interview just about anything they wanted to talk about.
So if you went to the, so could you go somewhere and listen to those, or did they just keep them to put them in a box?
Well, I don't know the full story on why they recorded them, what spurred that project. I'm still kind of digging for all of that. But I do know that they recorded them the purpose, and that was to preserve these stories. They thought that they were important, so we're trying to continue that mission right now.
What do you, are you from this area?
I'm originally from Des Moines, Iowa.
Okay, so do you think, what do you think about specifically the telling the stories of miners? What does that mean?
Well, from what I've learned from working on this project since January, I've really come to realize that Iron Range history plays a much larger role outside of this geographic region. I mean, the iron mining specifically had such a wide impact on industry and the general development of the world, the war effort specifically during World War II. So it had this very far-reaching impact, and it also was such a melting pot. We had people coming from 40 plus different countries that were coming to work here at that time because of the better economy in the United States and the chance at opportunity. And so it's this interesting sort of all-American narrative where you're having lots of different people from all over the world coming and doing this very hard, very dangerous, but incredible work that really did change the world.
Let's listen to another of the recordings.
Now, there were many, many serious accidents, and these accidents were something that most people who lived in those days will never forget. Usually, they would blow a whistle to indicate, four whistles indicated that there was an injury, and five whistles would indicate there was a death. And so, of course, you can just imagine the anticipation of people listening for the number of whistles. And then, of course, if it was a whistle of five, they knew immediately that somebody had died. And the whole community waited to find out who the individual was who may have been killed.
Hmm. I just put you there. You can hear the whistles.
Exactly. I mean, it's really uncanny when you... when you hear somebody talk about, I mean, a lot of the things that they talk about are very serious in nature. But, you know, that's another special thing about these tapes is that you hear all these different perspectives from people about the same thing. You know, most people think about history as being, that's how it happened. That's the one way it happened. But when you hear the same story about the same accident from, you know, five different people with five different jobs, it really goes to show how all these stories can be told in a different way. You know, one thing that really made me laugh when I listen to it over and over again when I'm editing these tapes is you'll hear about a safety issue from, you know, say a former miner, and he'll say, there were some safety problems. And then you get the guy that was in charge of safety on another tape, and he said, no, it was top notch.
Finest in the country. Hey, were there any women interviewed?
Yeah, there were actually quite a few.
What roles did they play?
Usually wives, wives of miners. But that's interesting that you mentioned that, because right now, not as part of this specific project, but as a private individual, I'm actually trying to track down more people to give new tapes. And right now I'm trying to find anybody that has any story relating to some of the all-women crews that worked at the Hill Annex during World War II, because there's some interesting history there in the sense that they had more of an output from that mine with those all-women crews than any of the all-men crews. And I think that's just an incredible story in and of itself. And I haven't found any tapes.
Okay, so right up here to the Grand Rapids Community Foundation, there is a giant photo. Have you seen that photo?
Yes,
those
I have.
Workers? Oh my
gosh. So we're trying to, I'm trying to find them. I'm actually going up later today to dig through some archives in Chisholm. And, you know, hopefully this will turn into something big.
Gosh, it's kind of exciting. A little investigative work. Very nice.
And so artifacts, you'll be showing some of the artifacts as well?
Yeah, so this oral history project is just one facet of what we're trying to accomplish at Hill Annex and the Croft Mine as well. And so at Hill Annex, there's a large map collection, historic map collection, that also we're trying to preserve, transport in, you know, to an archive. We're making an inventory of what's there right now because we're not 100% sure of what's there. So we're putting all of those together. And from what I've seen so far, it's really incredible. You can, there's maps from all the different, the whole time span of the mine. So you can see the progress of the mine itself in these maps. So that's one part of it. We're preserving these engineering documents, these oral histories. And we're actually taking new photos and GPS data of all kinds of structures and things like that on the site. So we're really trying to get a whole holistic preservation of every aspect of this site.
So you've done the interviews on the Iron Range, and then the Croft, are you talking Cuyuna?
Yeah, the Croft Mine is in the Cuyuna Range. Down
so is there any, did you hear any difference between the mines and the people?
Well, you know, it's interesting that lots of them tell a similar story, particularly when you're talking about the early ranges, early life in the range, how hard it was, all the different hardships, the sort of Wild West flair that these early mining towns seem to have. But, you know, really it really pulls us together as a community in the sense that, you know, the Iron Ranges, although they're different, are really not so different.
Let's hear another of the
let's
clips.
Hear another one.
And a lot of accidents, like dynamite, you know, there was a lot of them that were killed, you know, with dynamite. Now, like in the Jerk of Mine there, out of Calumet, east of Calumet there, when they were opening up that, they were clearing in the woods, you know, and then brushing it up. And they had dynamite there. And somebody went to work and put this dynamite on a fire to thaw out, and it caught fire. One guy goes to work and he's going to take it off the fire. He went over there, and as soon as he lifted it, went off in the air about 60 feet, and that was it.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. Okay, there is one more. I want to sneak this in as well, okay?
Yeah.
You know, how about the, you know, the nightlife, you know, the things, some of the things that went on downtown in the town of Calumet, all the saloons, and was there ever much trouble with the saloons?
Years ago, they used to have lots of fights. You know, I can remember one instance. I didn't see it, but there was a lot of talk about it. There was a fellow, they got into an argument, and this one fellow was a one-armed man, and he hit this one, he hit this other guy he was arguing with in the chest, and he died.
God, he must hit him hard.
Yeah, must
hit
him.
Imagine
that, eh?
Wow. Holy man.
And years ago, it was common, you know, that they'd find somebody dead someplace.
There was murder that went on
In the woods. And you see, there was board sidewalks, you know, in some places they were high, see. And we'd crawl under them board sidewalks, look for money.
You're just a little guy then.
Sure.
Yeah.
So they'd find, once in a while, they'd find somebody dead underneath the sidewalk.
Oh, boy. Then the sheriff would come and...
the sheriff would come and Undertaker would come.
Undertaker. Oh, my gosh. Think the sheriff was busy?
Probably. There's, you know, it seems like there was probably one guy dealing with all of that.
All this, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't want to paint a doom and gloom sort of picture with all of these, you know, sort of stories of crime and death and that sort of thing. But there were quite a few people that talked about things like that. You know, so it's just, you get the whole range of life, the good, the sad, you know, the funny, all sorts of stories are on these tapes.
Hmm. Wow, it's Ian Dunchy. He's a historical archivist, and he's going to be at the Hill Annex Mine State Park this Saturday. That's in conjunction with Paleontology Day there, and you'll have people can listen to some of these things?
Yep, I'm going to be there. People can come up and ask me about the project. I'm going to have the whole 100 hours of tapes, you know, I'm going to have a few choice clips selected for people passing by. But if anybody really wants to get into it and talk about it, I'll be there all day.
What's the hopes for what will happen with them eventually with the tapes?
Well, it's always baby steps with these sorts of large collections. But right now we have digital copies, and we're working right now to distribute those copies to other archives around the region so that, you know, just in case some of them get lost, everybody's got extra copies, because these are really incredible stories and we don't want them to be lost.
Have you gone through everyone?
I personally haven't listened to all 100 plus hours, but I've listened to quite a few, because you have to let them play in order to transfer them over to a digital format. So sometimes I set the headphones down because I can only listen to so much.
Sure,
But they must just be, you know, with such an intense study of this, these people must be rattling around inside you a little bit as you go around the rest of your life.
I was gonna say, you know, I these stories always pop into my head, and you know, I'll find myself thinking about them even in my dreams. So
what's gonna happen in the future? Are we gonna look back at our old Facebook and our old YouTube videos?
You know, I really think that we will, because that's something else that you think about is, you know, you might not think that recording grandma talking about, you know, her life even now is that important, or even recording yourself and talking about your own life. You know, you just, well, that didn't happen that long ago. You know, what's the point? But when you think about it, you know, fast forward 100 years or 200 years and say that these tapes are still around, you know, how interesting, how amazing would it be for somebody in your family or someone else to listen to you talk about your life in the early 2000s or whenever. It's really going to be special, and sometimes it's hard to realize right now.
Have you done that in your own family?
You know, my brother has recorded my grandfather talking about his life in Iowa, you know, making wine and doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm actually going to start just for fun, I guess, talking about my own life and experiences, because, again, you never know.
Right.
Well, just think about it. I mean, you can take photographs and you can conjure up your memories with photographs, but to actually hear a voice of a loved one or someone that's passed is priceless.
Exactly. And, you know, these, and especially the fact that, you know, a picture can only tell you so much.
Yep.
But people carry these stories with them, and unfortunately, people aren't around forever. And if they go, their stories go with them. So we should really do our best to hold on to those while we can.
The event is this weekend at the Hill Annex Mine State Park. That's in Calumet?
Yes.
Okay. And it begins, let's see, the park gates open at 9:30, and they're open till 3:30. There's tours of the park and the paleontology day that starts at 10. They last about an hour and 15 minutes. And then Ian Dunchy will be there as well to talk about this project, about oral histories of miners. And again, remind us what you are looking for the all-female crews, in case anyone has a connection.
Yeah. Yeah, if anybody knows, has a relative or anybody that knows anything about the all-female crews that worked in the mid-1940s at Hill Annex, please don't hesitate to either
call the station.
We'll
get a call. I'll guarantee you we'll get a call.
I hope so.
And keep us in mind, Ian. We would love to hear more of these stories and figure a way to get some of them on the radio as well.
Absolutely. I'll be in touch.
Sounds great.